All right. Take your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. And pull out your bulletins with the outline so you can follow along. This is, Lord willing, the third and final message specifically dealing with our mission statement. Our mission statement is that we seek to passionately serve God, compassionately love others, all to the glory of God. This message will be dealing with the glory of God, doing this all to the glory of God. So, as it's titled there, loving all to the glory of God. How do we do that? Well, let's just look back to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And we'll read these verses and see what the Lord has for us today. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We've seen the first message regarding thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. We've seen there how we are commanded to love God supremely. We know that as we love God supremely, we know that the results, the necessary results of our love for God will be in serving. So as we love God supremely, we will serve others. We will serve Him and others. Then we saw last week loving others selflessly. And there is our love for God is displayed as we selflessly love others and we serve them ultimately. Today, we consider the phrase all to the glory of God. I believe it's important for us to be continually searching our own heart and seeking the Lord to reveal to us whether or not any and every action we do will bring glory to His name. It's paramount for us as Christians to learn discernment in every area of our life, every aspect of our lives. Obviously, it's a challenge. How do we learn discernment? How can we be discerning? How can we live a discerning life of wisdom? I believe there's questions we must ask ourselves that will help us come to biblical conclusions. And we will have biblical, God-honoring results of discernment in our lives. So, this morning, I want to challenge us. We must learn to think about how we are living our lives. Really think about it. We must learn to live intentionally each day for the glory of God. That should be our aim. That should be our goal. We need to think intentionally. Am I living for the glory of God? Am I doing this for the glory of God? So let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. And we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. Heavenly Father, again we come before Your presence in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the blessing, the privilege of knowing You. We thank You for the privilege and blessing of being able to serve You. We thank You, Lord, for what You have in store for us today. Lord, I pray that You would boldly proclaim Your truth to our hearts, Lord. May we worship You as we sit under the ministry of Your Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to be in awe of You as I worship my way through this message. And may we all respond by being in awe of You, seeking to live all to Your glory. Help us, O God, we pray. Please be with us now. We know that You are here. Lord, help us as we seek to set aside the cares of the day and focus on You. We thank You and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we seek to think intentionally as we go through this life, we need to live with discernment. We need to live with discernment. And there's three specific areas that I would like to draw our attention to with regards to living intentionally, thinking intentionally, being discerning. The first area is in relation to my God. My God. It's a personal relationship. Emphasize, it's my God. So in Matthew 22, verse 37, we see Jesus said unto them, and unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In our efforts to love God supremely, we must seek Him to help us discern our own actions. Our love for God, as we love God supremely, we should respond by seeking to glorify Him in everything that we do and say. So you see there, our love for God is displayed in how we seek to glorify Him. How we love God is displayed in how we seek to glorify Him. So some questions to ask as we seek to be intentional in how we live our lives, so that we will do things to His glory. So we seek to be God's glory focused, if you will. First question, I believe it's imperative that we ask, does this glorify God? Does this glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, it's a known, well-known verse to us, I trust. It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I believe it's imperative that we ask ourselves this question. Because what we're dealing with here this morning is Christian liberty. Can I do this to the glory of God? Paul calls for us to consider our every action. Whatsoever ye do, he says. Our ruling motive. Do all to the glory of God. Our ruling motive. What rules our lives as Christians should be this. It's our habitual goal should be to glorify God in everything that we do. Our Christian behavior should be to the glory of God. This is a great thing that we get to do. We get to magnify God. We get to glorify His name. But how often do we ask ourselves, Lord, does this glorify You? Does this glorify You? Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Am I doing this? At times we can do things out of peer pressure. The Bible says, do this unto the Lord, not unto men. Not unto men. Honor God with this. Can you do this in the name of Jesus? Can you do this giving thanks to God for it? We need to live lives thinking intentionally, asking ourselves questions. Lord, help me to see. I don't want to be self-deceived. I don't want to be deceived. That's where we ask God to help us. So we see the first question in relation to my God. Does this glorify You, Lord? Second question. Does this promote the cause of Christ? Does this promote the cause of Christ? 1 Corinthians 10:33, Paul's saying here, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
What is Paul saying here? His goal, his aim of his life was to do everything in such a way as to win souls to Christ. I think at times as Christians we fail to consider whether or not this action hinders someone getting saved. Paul says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit. I'm not seeking this for selfish gain or pleasure. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you, for your profit, for your benefit. And the ultimate benefit is so that you will be saved. This glorifies God. This glorifies God.
I overlooked a question that with regards to does this glorify God? Will this only please me or will it glorify God? I think it's vital that we ask these questions. With regards to this second question, does this promote the cause of Christ? Will this help me win the lost to Christ or turn them away? We need to live lives of discernment. We see living lives of discernment in relation to my God. Now let's consider living lives of discernment, intentionally thinking in relation to my neighbor. In relation to my neighbor. We see in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Consider your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Who do you run into? That's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. In our efforts to love others selflessly, we must seek the Lord to help us discern our own actions. Our love for God is displayed in how we seek good for our neighbor. Our love for God is displayed in how we seek good for our neighbor. Will this benefit them? Will this encourage them? So, as we look here, first question with regards to my neighbor. Am I considering the good of my neighbor in doing this? There's many things that we can do in life as Christians that we feel that it's okay for us to do, but do we consider the effect of it? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. So am I considering the good of my neighbor in doing this? 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no man seek his own profit, if you will, but every man seek another's wealth, the good of his neighbor. Paul is challenging us, think, live intentionally, be discerning in how you live and what you do. Be discerning. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth, he says. Let no man seek his own profit, but let every man seek the good of his neighbor, if you will. Profit for self-gratification. That's what that speaks of. Paul is warning against a selfish mindset where the believer only considers his own wants but fails to consider others. We have to be careful. As we go through and we ask these questions and we live according to the answers that God gives us, that will ultimately glorify God, will it not? We will give God utmost glory because we are doing what He's calling us to do, because we are living lives discerning what we are doing. That is everything for us. Everything. Why were we created? But to give glory to God. That is the greatest purpose. That's our greatest privilege. So let us seek to understand, how can I best do that? Paul says, but every man another's wealth. He's saying, He's challenging the Corinthian saints to have an others mindset, that is, a mindset of considering others first. As Christians, we must seek the good of our neighbor. Philippians 2:4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, his own interests, but every man also on the things, the interests of others." We need to consider others. We need to consider our neighbor. How can I be most effective in living Christ before them in such a way as to bring honor and glory to God? And will this action, will this activity encourage that, or will it hinder it? So, letter A, am I considering the good of my neighbor in doing this? Letter B, will my actions encourage my neighbor to stumble? Romans 14:13 says, "And let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." What's Paul saying here? What's he saying? Paul is saying that instead of taking the role of condemning others, he says, judge yourself. Judge your own actions. See to it that you are not being a stumbling block to others and in turn hindering their spiritual growth. A stumbling block. A block that you stumble over. Biblically, it's speaking about our faith. Jesus was a stumbling block to the Pharisees because he was causing them to stumble over their faith. But their faith was self-righteous faith. We are called to not be a stumbling block to Christians, to be hurting their right faith, but to be encouraging. Jesus was properly a stumbling block to those who were out of line. We are not to be a stumbling block to those who are in line or seeking to honor Christ or seeking to grow in their faith. We are not to be a stumbling block to them. And we must consider our actions. So oftentimes in our society as Christians, it's easy for us to judge, isn't it? And Paul's saying, hey, consider yourself first. You consider yourself first. The goal is to strengthen one another. The goal is to encourage Christ-likeness. The goal is to encourage someone to come to Christ, to grow in Christ. So we must not be that stumbling block to one another. We must seek to make sure we are going out of our way so that we are not encouraging someone to stumble. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours, this Christian liberty of yours, become a stumbling block to them who are weak." I can do this, but will it be something that causes your brother or sister to stumble? Do we think about that? Do we think about these things before we engage in an activity? Will this make me a stumbling block or a stepping stone, if you will? Let us see. Am I seeking to avoid the appearance of evil? Am I seeking to avoid the appearance of evil? 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Abstain from all appearance of evil. The general principle here is that a believer is to hold oneself back from any kind of wrong behavior, even those which may seem to be wrong. If you're questioning whether it's right or wrong to you, it's wrong. Don't do it. Unless the Lord gives you absolute peace about doing it. But if you're questioning whether it's wrong or right, don't do it. It's wrong to you. There's any question about whether it's wrong or not. Paul says, hold yourself back from doing it. Don't do it. So am I considering the good of my neighbor in doing this?
Will my actions encourage my neighbor to stumble? Am I seeking to avoid the appearance of evil? All of this, my desire is to give you glory, Lord. So help me understand. Help me understand what I am doing, whether it honors you or not. And help me to be discerning about my actions.
Fourth question with regards to, in relation to my neighbor, will my actions build my neighbor up? 1 Corinthians 10:23 again says, "And all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What do these things, all things, refer to? In chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, Paul has been specifically speaking about immoral things. So he's already specifically said those immoral things that are not to be done. Those aren't included in all things. He's already condemned those. He's already commanded against that. So what we consider here is that all things that are lawful for me refers to those matters that are not necessarily immoral that would fall under, and they would in turn fall under the Christian liberty category. I believe I can do this. So what Paul is challenging us to do is think intentionally, be discerning. Yes, I may believe that I can do this, but should I? Says, does it edify? Does it edify others? Does it edify yourself? But specifically here in relation to my neighbor, does it edify? Does it build up or encourage my neighbor? Not all things are beneficial or constructive to my neighbor. Not all things encourage my neighbor to grow in their faith. Consider how your Christian liberty, consider how my Christian liberty should be regulated. Should be regulated based upon my love for others, my sacrificial love for others, my selfless love for others. I may not have any problem with it, but if it's bringing, if it's a stumbling stone to my brother, if it's hindering the cause of Christ, then it doesn't matter how much I enjoy it, I need to abstain from it. I need to refuse it. Because it's not about me. It's about my God. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. And it should be. Will this build my neighbor up or tear him down? I need to understand. Our actions have ramifications. Our actions hurts. Our actions hinder. Our actions aren't always beneficial, not only to myself, but others. They're not always beneficial to the cause of Christ. So we see how to be discerning in relation to God, my God. We see how to be discerning in relation to others. Now let's consider how to be discerning in relation to myself. How to be discerning in relation to myself. First Corinthians 10, verse 12. Good verse to memorize. "Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." What is Paul saying there? This is a warning to believers who thinks that he's strong enough to take part in something that a weaker brother would see as dangerous. Or that for a weaker brother would say, "Oh man, can't do that." Paul says, think, be aware of your own self-deception, which will lead to falling into sin. He's saying, "Wherefore let him that thinks he stands..." Being overconfident, ultimately
We can think that we are doing what is right and not consider other things, not consider God in the process. And we can become self-deceived that everything is just fine. Take heed lest we fall ultimately into sin. In our efforts to passionately serve God and compassionately serve others, we must seek Him to help us discern our own actions. Could it be that I am self-deceived? Nah. Often we do that, or we don't even think of our own self-deception. And we continue on. And this isn't just Christian liberty. This is sinful things. I'm doing just fine. Really? What does God say about it? Let's ask God, what does He say about it? The goal is, let's think about things. Let's be intentional about living this Christian life in a way that so that we will bring honor and glory to God. And if you go through these questions and you're saying, yes, I'm bringing honor and glory to God, keep doing it. But ask these questions. So in relation to myself, is it profitable for me? Is it profitable for me? Our love for God is displayed in our sacrifice for Him. Are we willing to sacrifice for God? How we sacrifice for God is evidence of love for Him. It's true sacrifice from the heart. I mean, we can put on a facade and say, look at me, how great I'm loving God because of this sacrifice. Well, there we just shot ourselves in the foot, didn't we? When we are truly sacrificing from the heart, we're living selflessly for God. There, we're displaying our love for Him. So letter A, is this profitable for me? Is this profitable for me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. We'll look at the first part of the verse and then the second part with the next question. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Again, this Paul reiterates this portion in chapter 10, verse 23. Verbatim. And he adds on to it in 23. He adds, but this is edify. Here we see specifically with regards to it being expedient. Is it good for me to do it? Is it profitable? Is it helpful? It may be lawful, and therefore a Christian may feel that he has the liberty to take part in it under the guise of Christian liberty. But Paul wants us to think, is it expedient? Is it profitable? Is it helpful? Is this good for me to do? Is it worthwhile or helpful? And then we see the second part of the verse. We ask this question, will this enslave me? And I think this is a question that oftentimes we fail to consider. We may acknowledge this question, but frequently we'll say, nah, I'm strong enough. And this is where the challenge for us is intentionally think and ask the Holy Spirit to help. Ask God these questions. Don't necessarily ask yourselves these questions, because if we ask ourselves these questions, does this glorify God? Yeah, if I want to do it, then yes, it glorifies God. Is this a hindrance? Is this a stumbling block to my neighbor? Nah. Because I want to do it. That's true. The goal is Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way. In and of itself, is it wrong? Maybe not necessarily. But Lord, does this glorify you that I should do this? Does it hinder my walk with you, Lord? Should I do this?
Is it profitable for me, Lord? Will this enslave me, Lord? Because in 1 Corinthians 6:12 we see it says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul understood the danger of even so-called harmless things. He gives great insight here to encourage us to honestly ask the question, will I become enslaved to this? And we fill in the blank. Will I become enslaved to this, Lord? Asking God, you show me. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that as we go through and we consider these questions that are in relation to God, in relation to my neighbor, in relation to myself, and I'm asking God, you answer these for me. You give me peace. You show me the answer to these questions. It will transform how we live. There's things that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing. There's things that we should be doing that we are not doing. God, help me to know and discern. Help me to live intentionally for you. We want to be a God-honoring, Christ-honoring church, unified for the cause of Christ, for the glory of God. Well, individually, personally, we must be discerning and intentional in how we live this life. We must think about what we're doing. Paul says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What are things that we can be brought under the power of? What other people think. Get on social media. What we seek to share. Are we seeking self-glory? Are we seeking God's glory? Getting so consumed in a television program that I just can't miss it. I just can't miss it. Or being enslaved to it. What else? What can we be enslaved to? I'm just an angry person. No, you're enslaved to anger. You're controlled by anger because you're not getting your way. And you go down the list of things. What can we be enslaved to? Under the influence of, if you will. Will I become enslaved to this? Can this dominate me? Can this dominate me? And sometimes we may honestly answer, yes, but I'm strong enough. So I can do it. Maybe you can't do it. God bless your poor, weak soul, but I can do it. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. Will doing this lead to freedom or slavery? Will doing this lead to freedom or slavery? Our goal is Christ-likeness, is it not? Our goal is Christ-likeness. Our goal is submission to the Father. Our goal is to do what He wants us to do. Our goal is to magnify Him because we get to. Isn't that true? We get to magnify God because of what He did for us. If He doesn't want us to do something that we may feel is okay, if we like doing that, and He says, you know what? I don't want you doing that. Is it such a big deal to us that we should say, I just can't, I just have to have it? Well, wait a second, what about Christ Jesus? Could He have said to the Father, I just want the fellowship with you. I don't want to do anything for these people because it'll ruin my fellowship with you, Lord. I will have to be separated from you to go through this. Forget it. It's not worth it. I want you and you alone, Lord. If He would have done that, He would have never died on the cross. If He was willing to go through death and sacrifice completely His life for us, what should hinder us from making sacrifices for Him? And each and every single one of us have different areas that we
have those areas where we're justifying, it's okay for me to do. Because of whatever. And I want to challenge us. Consider the fact that God may be actually saying you should not be doing it. What is it in your life? Be willing, be sensitive to the Spirit's leading that He may be calling for change in your life with regards to something that you see no problem with. Our goal is Christ-likeness. To be like Christ, we must think like Him. To be like Christ, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit, being controlled by Him. It's a sad testimony when a Christian is dominated, mastered, or enslaved by something other than Christ. It's a sad testimony, isn't it? Our prayer should be like David's in Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, may they be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, I want to please you and you alone. I want to be controlled by you and you alone. I want to bring you much honor and glory. I want to do what you're calling me to do, Lord. Help me understand. Help me to think through what I do. Help me intentionally be seeking your glory. Help me to be discerning, Lord. So what's my next step? What's your next step? What are you going to do about it? Some questions to ask ourselves. What must I put off that is both hindering my walk with Christ or someone else's? Lord, show me. What must I put off that is both hindering my walk with Christ or someone else? What can I put my mind upon to renew my mind with? What qualities or words of Christ must I meditate upon? What commands of Scripture, promises that He claims here? There are promises to claim, commands to obey. There are principles that we must apply here. Is there an example that we must follow? Are there qualities of God that I want to implement into my life? Things about God that I must meditate upon. Things He likes, things He dislikes. And say, Lord, if you don't like it, I don't like it. If you like it, I like it. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. And we consider what we must put on. What qualities of Christ must I seek to have as a characteristic in my life? And when it comes to asking these questions, we must have a characteristic of humility, saying, Lord, whatever you say, I'm willing to do. Whatever you say, I'm willing to do, whatever it is. But give Him that opportunity to show you. Give Him that opportunity to show you what He's calling for you to do. As I seek to give Him that opportunity, to give Him that opportunity to show me, now this could be wrong. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you once again, we ask for your help. Lord, as each one of us sits here, as I stand here, as we consider ourselves in this process,
I ask that you'd help us. These words are challenging. These words are challenging for us, Lord. Help us to submit to you and do what you are calling us to do, Lord. Help us to submit to you. Lord, I pray that we would be more intentional and think through how we are glorifying you or not, and give you the opportunity to show us. Pray you'd help us, Lord, to ask these questions honestly, ask you them, and be willing to obey whatever it is you're calling us to do. And Lord, the beauty of it is, there's times where you're going to say, it's okay what you're doing, and we can have assurance of that. Lord, let us give you the opportunity to tell us what changes are needed in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Commit these things to you and pray them in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.